Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. Tonight, I am joined by an illustrious panel. We have Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Hello, folks.
And we have the executive producer, Triple B.
Good evening.
Tonight, folks, we are drinking a very special wine. Scott has no idea what it is. And it's in celebration of his birthday. You see, Scott is very old.
Old.
So.
What is the hells?
Far older than I. And so, yeah, well, this I don't have anything that old. I mean, I would have to go back in the Egyptians and whatever wine they had.
Yeah.
Yeah. BC. Yes. And, but I don't have that. So I went to an older wine of ours. And folks, when we come, well, I don't want to reveal it yet.
Raquel Welch in a.
No.
Yes.
This is something older than Raquel.
Oh,
it's not though. It's not. You know, it's old. It's old, folks. And we're tonight. It's going to be a, let's just say, a exercise in what we can do to make ourselves sick. Because this wine probably is one of those where it was grand in its day. However, it's just like if, for instance, name a basketball player. If Oscar Robinson went out and said, "I'm going to play,"
I was going to say today. Charles Barkley.
Be a Charles Barkley.
Charles, the Charles.
It was better than Charles, though.
Oscar was better than Charles.
Yes. So he'd look like a jackass because he's old and worn out. This wine might have those properties. But at one time, it was great. So when we come back in the Wine Vault, folks, we're going to reveal to all what we're drinking tonight. We'll be right back. Folks, on the Wine Vault, you can listen to us in many ways and read our blogs, by the way, folks. We are on the iTunes. Just look up iTunes.
Use the Google to find us.
Yes. Yes. And just type in The Wine Vault. We are the only explicit podcast on iTunes for wine or food or anything. And we don't talk about triathlons like that other guy does on there.
Yeah, oh, terrible.
Also, folks, you can find us on the Facebooks at thewinevault.rs. Also, we have our website at thewinevault.wordpress.com. So, folks, three different ways to enjoy the Wine Vault and get your fix in. So, when we come back, we're going to do a little more wine on the Wine Vault. Right back. So, folks, the big reveal tonight. I know you're all very excited. I'm very excited.
I'm excited.
I'm just, yes. Scott, why not? Well, okay. Tonight, folks, we are drinking a 1999, yes, folks, from last century, 1999 Chateau Saint-Jean Cinq Cépages. Now, folks, Chateau Saint-Jean Cinq Cépages was a big to-do in the 95 vintage on forward. It still is quite a hell of a wine. The 96 Cinq Cépages won Wine Spectator's Wine of the Year. The 97 Cinq Cépages had a higher review than the 96, but it didn't actually even get in the top 100. The 98 was terrible, and the 99 was number 2 in the Wine Spectator top 100 list. I previously owned and drank the 96, the 97, and now we're doing the 99. Retail on this, when I bought it, and I probably bought it, oh, Lord, 14 years ago, maybe? I don't know. Yeah, probably. It was probably 2002, 2003 when I bought it. Maybe, yeah, in that range. It was around $75. At auction, I think it was going for in the 150s for a while. Currently today, I don't believe you would buy it. But, well, you could still. Actually, I just sold the 96 for sale still, and it was $180, I think.
Wine.com's price for this year, $68.99.
Back in the day. Now, folks, you can't buy this on Wine.com. No.
That's the price today.
No, it's not available today.
But it says the price.
What
it would go for.
No, when they sold it, that's what it cost.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? I think you can buy it for $68.99.
No, you can't buy it for $68.99. It's not available. I know that. It's sold out. Folks, you can't buy it. But
just edit that out.
We can't.
We'll leave it.
Yeah. Anyway, folks.
Our intern's not preparing as well.
A bunch of monkey ass. Anyway.
If you had Superstar, it would be a different story.
The Superstar, he would be passed out under the table by now. So, folks, when you drink old wines, the first thing you want to do is you want to have a decanter. And a decanter is something that looks like a weird vase with a big base on it. The reason why we use this is because old wine develops something called sediment or grit or dirt, and it's nasty. You don't want to accidentally consume any part of sediment. This goes for any wine that you've had for any amount of time. Because it's nasty.
It tastes nasty?
Yes. Imagine you just take a big old mouthful of really bad tasting coffee grounds. A bunch of them. Only it's finer and grittier. Not a pleasant experience. So, never be the person with the last glass of an old bottle of wine. Because you are not going to have a good day. So, that's why we decant it. A decanter is designed to keep the sediment down below. It won't actually get out of that thing, allegedly. Also, when we pour it into the decanter, we are able to keep a lot of that sediment in the bottle. So, a lot of the sediment doesn't even make it into the decanter to begin with. So, helps. Also, decanters are good for just aerating wine, getting air to it. So,
because you've got this broad base, you've got this much larger surface mm-hmm. structure
yep.
where the wine can interact with the air.
Mm-hmm. Not that this wine needs to interact with air. It might fall apart when you do that, but... Ooh. So, folks, when we come back, we are going to put this wine through the paces. Think of, you know, if you ever flown on a plane that was built in the 1940s, that exhilaration, that's what we're doing right now. So, we'll be right back on the Wine Vault. Folks, we're back. We are getting ready to test the 1999. Yes, you heard that right. 1999 for all you that can't legally drink and are listening to our podcast and I'm questioning your morality. Château Saint-Jean Cinq-Cépages. And by the way, Cinq-Cépages.
Sounds French. We need to talk about where it's from, my brother.
It's from Sonoma.
Sonoma. It's California, baby.
It is California. It is Cabernet, Petit Verdot, Cab Franc, Merlot, and Malbec, I believe. That is the
and Malbec?
That is the sink. Five vines.
Oh.
I think that's what it is. You didn't know I knew that. Yeah, I know that.
That's impressive. That's like a great trivia question. Say the five again.
I believe Cabernet, Petit Verdot, Cab Franc, Merlot, and Malbec. But it might not be Malbec. What else could it be? It's a Bordeaux... It's a Bordeaux grape. You could probably, it'd probably say it right here, actually. Folks, we always, one thing you can always find, it's kind of interesting. On wine.com, they have basically seller sheets of everything that tells you everything you need to know about the wine. It's not really a cheat sheet for us, but still. This wine, though, is considered a Bordeaux style blend, and it is to the upteenth level. But it's all Sonoma Valley. So this is not Napa. This is not from Oakville. It's not some fancy thing. This is basically from the same area that the Francis Coppola in a previous episode several weeks ago that we drank, it came from. So basically, we're talking about the same stuff, only grown 15 years apart. So looking at it, first of all, it's dense.
How do you spell Cinq-Cépages?
C-I-N-Q.
And then?
C-E-P-A-G-E.
Mm-hmm. It is. It has a brickishness to it. By that we mean it's a garnet. It's not that bad.
Almost a brown tint.
It has a little bit
to the exterior, to the circumference mm-hmm. of the glass.
Yes, to that outer edge
where we would look through to see mm-hmm. you know, is there transparency through it? Is it translucent? Mm-hmm. You're looking for that brickishness there, mm-hmm. that brownish tint.
Mm-hmm.
This is black.
Yeah, and it's really showing better visually than what you'd expect for wine of this age.
The edge is like a really deep ruby garnet.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty.
And
now,
maybe you see the brickishness in the legs a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
This is also a wine that you would envision if you were like in old rich England drinking a wine. I feel could like be. This is what you would expect it to look like.
And when it was reviewed, the Wine Spectator gave it a 95, and the Advocate gave it a 90, and I think the Enthusiast gave it a 91. It's been a long time, or 92. In 99, actually, the seminal vintages for Cabernet in California back in the 90s, 97 was, everything was magnificent in 1997 in Napa and Sonoma in California. I mean, that was a flagship historic year. The greatest of the great were 97. 98 was not very good. 99 wasn't as good as 97, but was good. And then 2000 was crap. 2001 was great. And then I don't know after that. But that's kind of the history of this. So it was not of the grandest year. 97 was the grandest year. Surprisingly, though, 96 from Cinque des Pages is the one that got the most fame. But the top-rated one was 97. But in my past memory, the 96 was better than the 97. And the 96 was one of the greatest things I've ever drank, ever in my entire life.
And you remember it?
Yes. I had it many years ago. And we had a dinner at Jay Gilbert's, where we had one of those private rooms. Myself and everybody else at Anderson's, but the four of us. We each brought a bottle, and I brought that.
Show off.
Well, no one else brought anything slouchy either. My friend Steve, he brought a bottle of Martin Ray. They have a Diamond Creek Cabernet, which is the same price range, $70-$80, and it's magnificent. Our boss, Dennis, brought Penfold's Grand Pare Tawny Port, which is $80 a bottle. So, you know, nobody horsed around.
It was a big night.
Yeah, but this was considered, but the 96 Cinque des Pages, even in those great wines, was considered everyone said it was the best, flat out. And so, we're going to take a whiff of this wine here. Oof. You know, it's not, doesn't smell Californian at all. It smells...
It's old world.
It smells earthy. French.
It smells old world, yeah.
It has that... It has a little bit of the earthy dirt smell that I don't love, but it smells good.
Yeah. The triple. Yeah,
so that's, right?
Yeah. That's what it is. I mean, you know what it makes you think of.
Yeah. And it does. I always smell black olive or something. But licorice, black licorice is there. Black cherry.
The first one that hits your nose, there's a little bit off-putting to it, and I'm not sure what that is.
Sometimes that, tar. To me, I was going to say, sometimes to me that smell is black olive.
Well, it is. Tar, black, I mean, folks.
It smells like tar-y. The skin of black olive, and I don't love that smell.
Folks, this is not, well, I normally drink nice Pinot Noirs. This is not wine introductory level wine drinking, folks. This is... You have to enjoy wine to do what we're doing right now. This is a bit of, and what I said, it's like flying a 1940s airplane. We're going to put something in our bodies shortly that's 18 years old. And in the grand scheme of things, there are many things that are older than that. But this wine, considering the cellar notes that I've seen elsewhere, should have been drank about 4 years ago. That was its peak. And we're taking it outside of that. I was sniffing glue 4 years ago and didn't drink it. I don't know. But it makes for a nice experiment anyway. But yeah, black olive, black tar, black cherry.
Licorice.
Black licorice.
It's maybe not even licorice. It might even be just anise.
You know what? That's what it is, anise. I'm sure it's sounding delicious to all of you. You're all getting in your cars.
It's just a unique nose. An old nose. It's
a powerful nose. Folks, none of these things are subtle either. You can smell them.
It's strong.
You can smell them 6 inches away from the glass.
You don't have to stick your nose on
the
way.
No, you do not. And folks, this wine's so old, the damn label fell off and I taped it back on. So I knew what it was. And the cork fell apart when we were taking it out.
Which is not always a good sign.
No, but it was still moist.
It was the underside of the cork was wet.
Yes. And the interior wasn't a dried out cork. It just was, it was done. So I'm going to go in.
Let's go in.
Everybody.
Triple B, you ready?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Hey, let's ting on this.
Yeah, happy birthday to Scott.
Yes, happy birthday to Scott.
Thank you, and thanks for sharing this.
We haven't tried it yet, so wait for the...
When you get dysentery, you're not going
to
be there.
But the point of it is, this is why we do what we do. This is what I'm learning to do to age wines.
And
this is a 1999 bottle that my friend Rob, the wine guy, pulled out in honor of my birthday. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you, my brother.
Yes. Ooh. Triple B's loving this.
The black olive is strong.
Mm.
Ooh. Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
Ooh. Mmm. Mmm.
This.
Ooh.
This takes length. There's a lot going on there.
That numbs the mouth, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, wow. Folks, we should throw a little brandy in this and make some port out of it. Wow. Ooh, it's still going. By the way, I haven't actually taken another drink, folks. In the length, in the finish, I still have it. And once again, folks, the notes that I'm tasting are not reminiscent of a fresh wine. This is all something that is
completely different.
It's aged. Aged man of war.
As Monty Python said, and now for something completely different. It's very earthy, very old world.
Oh, yes. Triple B loves it.
None of these things are any kind of wine that I like. It has such a strong black olive flavor. I don't know that I can drink anymore.
Mm.
More for you all.
Well, folks, Becky, you can actually put that back in there and you can drink the rest of the Coppola. Mm. You know, it is at its... Well, it's beyond its peak. It's probably it's past that point, and I'm glad we drank it today because it, 3 months later, it's probably going to be dust. But it's still it's still good enough to really get some interest in it. You know, it still has that, folks, this mid palate density.
Oh my God!
That it just says. It says, no, really, I can go for another 20 years, but you know it can't.
But it...
Wow. Imagine this.
I've not had a
10 years
I've,
ago.
I've not had a mid-palate wine like this before.
Yeah.
It's
because it was a grand wine.
It
was. I mean, it's not now.
There's the front side of it, which I haven't taken that in yet. I don't have that yet. But the mid-palate is spectacular in this wine.
Mm-hmm.
The finish is kind of all over the place. The length is something. It kind of finishes quick, but then it lingers for forever.
Yeah.
What's the front? What is the front of this?
It's black olive, but it has... Still there. It almost... And on the... What is that?
Wow. That mid-palate. What I love about this wine is the physical response on the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
It is...
The density of that son of a bitch. It is
difficult on the front side. It's there's a lot of earthy things going on, but it goes so quick. It's strong and then quick. And then there's this mid-palate that almost sneaks up, but it's so strong, the mid-palate, and it lasts... And then there's this finish that, again, is almost as sharp as the front side. And then it drops off a cliff, except, and it lingers for forever.
Yeah. what you think drops off a cliff, but there's something else underneath it.
And it just keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that damn test you got to do when you got to blow into the thing, the yeah. spirometry test.
Well, I've never been pulled over for
that. Blow as hard as you can. Blow, 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 and you're going to die, right? Well, that's what you think this finish is. You think you're going to die before it ends because it goes on for forever.
But you don't mind it.
It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
By far, the two nicest things about this wine are the mid-palate and the length of that finish. I encourage a Triple B to give it another chance. Just get past the black olive and just think about the mid-palate. Get past the mid-palate and appreciate the length of that finish. Don't focus on that black olive.
Yes, folks.
She's trying. God bless her.
It's like someone that just got a really painful shot. Does that look on her face? Yeah.
It just tastes salty to me.
Salty?
Like a salty black olive.
Salt? No.
Yeah, and sometimes, I've had it, you get a flavor with something in your head, and then it's just over for you.
Mm-hmm.
Pepperwood Grove, the first time I got the green pepper, I never...
That's all that was.
Green pepper, and that's all that it was.
Folks, this is what we call wine racism. She's holding on to a stereotype, but she won't let it go.
I don't like black olive-y wine normally, and I don't like earthy mushroom wine.
Well, 12 years ago, this wouldn't have tasted like that.
And there is a little mushroom in here.
Well, yeah.
So you combine all the things I don't like in a wine.
And they're there.
This is actually, you know what this is reminiscent of? An old Chateauneuf. I say this because I recently had an old Chateauneuf. Mm-hmm. It was about 4 years younger than this, but it was old. No, it's 3 years younger than this. And this is bigger, but both of those wines were at their peak, well, peakish, and both had a lot of the same qualities to them.
I'm getting a little tingling on my lips.
I don't know what you've been doing, but tingling on your lips? Folks,
it's like a little.
I'm sure it's honest, but
like there's, I'm tasting something there.
Are you?
Yes.
I don't know.
It's not salty.
No. Well, I did. I mean, I did wash that in the same sink that I was making the methamphetamine, so that probably had something to do with it. I joke, folks. I didn't wash it in the same place, but
he does his methamphetamines out back.
That's right.
In the barn.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. Tingly lips? I think they're just chapped, my friend.
It might be the black olives.
Oh.
You were right on the five wines in the Cinque Sauvage.
I know I'm right.
We couldn't remember if it was Malbec or not. Dear.
Well, there wasn't anything else left. Thank you. Thank you for telling me I'm right.
Oh, my God.
That's what she said. Didn't she say I was right? I was right. Malbec isn't that.
I'll edit that out.
Isn't Malbec. You don't edit these. Malbec is an interesting inclusion, isn't it? But
yeah,
in a lot of Bordeaux blends, that is in there. I think they call it something different, but still.
I thought Malbec was from South America.
It's from wherever it wants to be.
Oh.
Malbec's a nice grape. Argentinian Malbecs can be great. Quintina makes a wonderful, wonderful Malbec.
There's good state of Washington Malbecs?
That would be a secret only you have.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just wondering how they got all the wines, all the grapes together to make
Syrah.
That.
Syrah. There's some Syrahs. I think there's some. Are there? What folks, he has that tingling on the lips. And apparently it's
back in my brain. Let's see what else we pull out of here.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we pull out of this. Give us some flavors from the guy.
I'm trying to get over the Washington Mountains. Could be. Folks, I love the mid palate and the dusty tannin.
Dusty tannin is
a perfect. Little bit of astringency, but
I think that's what
the Merlot
Triple B talks about.
That's
the dirtiness that tastes like dirt. That
the dustiness,
the dusty tannins. Yeah.
But that astringency is the Merlot.
Maybe.
So the Merlot is the mid palate. That's a Merlot mid palate. That's what that is. So it's one of those wines where you're tasting the sum of its parts. Oh, you're low? And folks, I couldn't think of a better time to drink this wine. It helps a lot because we talk about old wines, and I think you hear about old wines. And while this isn't something that you probably equate, you might say, well, this isn't from 1922. Folks, you can't drink those wines. Something from 1999 from Sonoma, that's fucking old. And that's old.
That's old.
That's old, old, old.
And it is tasteable, but... Mm-hmm. And okay, so it's gone past its prime.
But it's still beautiful.
It's still beautiful.
Really beautiful. Maybe 10 years ago, folks, this would have been a massive bastard. I mean, just in your face.
Yeah, I think what's lost on this is there's no even hint of fruit. Keep looking for it.
A little black cherry.
Maybe.
And
black cherry? I was going to say maybe a little plum.
A little bit,
but,
yeah.
But somewhere in there.
It's gone from being something that's Californian to something that really is to... And it wants to emulate a Bordeaux, and it now is. It's very much a spitting image of a Bordeaux at this point, which makes me very happy. Probably because the Triple B doesn't want to drink any of it.
Help yourself.
Yeah. So, folks...
That's not nice.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and go through our... Potpourri segment. We'll be right back on the Wine Vault. We're back. Tonight's potpourri segment, we're going to still continue to drink because, well, we're humans.
It's what we do.
Yeah, we drink. And we have stresses. But, this is our job. Well, it's not our job. We're not paid to do this, but.
But we love it.
We do love it. We love you. We love the people.
We love them.
Yes. All, 10 million people?
At least.
Well, yeah.
Theoretically.
10.5, I think, is of this afternoon.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you must be looking at different figures than I am, but mm-hmm. still, nevertheless.
I mean 10 and a half people, not...
Well, I think it was 17, but still, that's a lot. Folks, tonight... Oh, by the way, Scott, All the Girls Love Alice. Was this on Best of the Westies?
No, that's on Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Well, I know that, but I just didn't know
if you... An inferior album to Rock of the Westies.
I really doubt... Yeah. Tonight we're going to talk about do's and don'ts. And when you say do's and don'ts, what do you mean? Well, it's not going to be about when you murder a hooker, how do you actually dispose of the body? Not that do's and don'ts.
You don't have any pre-dug shallow graves
at
your friend's house.
No. But we're not going to do that because Scott can talk about that on his own podcast or confession. No, what we're going to talk about is do's and don'ts in serving wine, consuming wine, buying wine. More along lines of, though...
Drinking wine.
Yes, what you should put up with at a restaurant, too. That's an important thing, because I think, from my perspective, restaurants are shitting on us, and we don't need to take it. Just like everybody else is doing a resistance group against Trumpy or whatever, I am starting my own resistance group against restaurants that serve wine warm. That's the first thing, folks. Wine should not be served at room temperature, damn it.
Right.
Sons of bitches. I am tired of this. There are fucking restaurants that serve food. They should know what temperature to serve fucking wine.
If you have red wine, it's even like 3 or 4 degrees too warm.
It's ridiculous.
It's bad.
It's inexcusable, folks. Like I think on a previous episode, I talked about that Robert Ballet where I'm spending $13 a glass, whatever it was. And it's a $45 bottle of wine. It's as warm as a freaking cup of coffee, practically. And that's what
awful.
I mean, it's just inexcusable. And folks, that's the first don't. Don't tolerate it. If a wine is served to you warm, room temperature, send it back.
Yeah.
Don't pay for it.
It's one of the first things on my list. Send back bad wine.
And that's not
It's
just
the
warm.
Same thing, like if you had a warm beer at a restaurant,
yes.
you would say...
Don't tolerate it, folks.
Yeah.
They're overcharging you to begin with. They should, and it's quite frankly, folks, it's disrespectful. It's disrespectful to you. It's disrespectful to people that made the wine. It's just lazy, and it's inexcusable. They could make that wine just a little bit cooler when they serve it to you, but they don't bother because they're sons of bitches.
And get
I'm
this,
as
folks.
Guilty of this as anybody.
Get this, folks. Rob's experience that he's sharing with you,
mm-hmm.
was at a place that's a wine shop
a wine
and
shop.
Restaurant.
Yes.
They are supposed to know the effing difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Every red wine you drink, folks.
Shame on you, Spazio.
Should be slightly cool in your mouth. Every red wine. This red wine, every red wine we drink here in the wine vault is cellar temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Period. For one thing, the wine vault is cellar temperature. It's cold as hell down here. It's about 60, what? Four?
Usually, yeah, 64, 65.
So just the room.
Comfortable.
If it's room, yes, for us, it's room temperature, folks, down here is 64. I don't have any refrigeration units. This is a basement.
If you're that person that's cold all the time, mm-hmm. you should be cold in a properly
yes.
temperature.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And this one.
I think it's good. I think Scott's point's good, though.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're at a nice place
yes.
or a wine place, they still might not have it cooled to the proper temperature.
I will say this. The refectory has never gave me warm wine. The refectory has never done it. Gilbert's has never really done it. Jay Gilbert's has never really done that to me.
Well,
but
we barely got served last time.
Yes, the food was terrible, but still, you know. But yeah, it's inexcusable, folks.
It happened to Barcelona.
It did happen in Barcelona, and I should have said something.
Barcelona usually has their wine at a proper temperature.
They didn't.
They'll pull some stuff from off the shelf.
This is a Numancia.
Wow.
Not... Numancia Termes, though, not the Numancia.
Still.
Yeah, it's unacceptable.
It was very warm.
Also, before we went to Spazio, we stopped at the Hubbard Grill. Kind of a chachi place, but still. When we went there before...
It was chachi then, too.
It was chachi then, too. Yeah, but I got a glass of Charles and Charles.
Really? Hyler and Smith?
Whatever.
The Washington guys?
Yes. But it was warm.
And well, let's get back to do's and don'ts.
Yeah, don't put up with that shit. Well, yeah, don't do that. But
well, I'm gonna give a little do. There's a lot of informational products out there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to grab that wine list and real quickly do a little research. Have your little go-to source.
Mm-hmm.
Find out real quickly what you can and make an educated selection. Mm-hmm. They'll tell you what the retail price is. But pick your app. There's a lot. We like Cellar Tracker. Wine.com has a lot of information. And in general, know what information you're looking for. And don't be afraid to ask also. If you narrow it down to 3 or 4 bottles,
mm-hmm.
ask that bartender or wine person. Ask to talk to the wine sommelier if you're at a real fancy shop and say, what's the difference between these three? And ask some questions. Don't be afraid. If
yes.
you're going to spend prime dollars on a yeah. bottle of wine, if you're going to spend $75 to $100 on a bottle of
do
wine.
Do your research.
Spend a little money. And who gives a shit?
Yeah.
You know what?
Don't be afraid to sound stupid. I mean,
And
honestly, just your normal server isn't going to really know either. They can tell you what people buy more often.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean that it's a good wine.
They might say 15 below me.
Yeah.
Listen. I've got on my do's and don'ts 2 things. Listen to your knowledgeable wait staff.
But you don't know who that is.
Don't listen to your server, Rhonda.
Don't listen to the person
poor
at Trader
Rhonda.
Joe's.
And here's the thing with time. Know the difference.
Yeah.
You know, a good server, if you're asking them questions about wine, and Rob and I have had this at a couple different places, they'll tell you, I really don't know. And you mm-hmm. know what? I think I appreciate that
yep.
more than
yep.
anything.
Honesty is beautiful.
Yep.
If you don't know about wine, don't bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But back to my do's. It was the first one of my do. have apps downloaded. Do a little research when you're out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid. And a lot of these places, particularly if you're going to a place that's a wine-forward restaurant, mm-hmm. they're going to have their lists on their website.
Yep.
Do a little research. We do. It's what we do.
Yeah.
Well, folks.
And if you know what you're going to order, then mm-hmm. you can also narrow it down some, too. If you know you're going to go out and have seafood, then you know where to direct your wine research. So yep. you're not looking at...
Sauvignon Blanc.
Well, you're not looking at 10 pages of wines
True.
Every yeah. time. You can narrow it down to a section.
And the apps will really help
yep.
you do that.
Yep.
And folks,
yep.
and also, on a do...
You know who also help you do that, folks?
Me?
The Wine Vault.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. Yes. Folks, and on that, folks, do study. Folks, we don't naturally have this knowledge, even though I'm brilliant and Scott is...
learning.
Anyway.
On his way to being brilliant.
A book I recommend, folks, it is an encyclopedia of sorts, but it's called The World Atlas of Wine. It's the sixth edition. I bought this on Amazon for $1.99 plus $3 shipping.
Folks, where did it come from?
It came from London. It has everything that you need to know and learn about wine in explicit detail. Now, you can start off slow, but folks, it teaches you. Like, for instance, we talk about AVAs, certain areas with sub-regions within California or Germany. This teaches you about that. This teaches you what things come from what regions and what to expect. It teaches you all of those things. Not that you necessarily need this, but it makes you a better-rounded person and gives you knowledge. And you apply it.
Previously, we've discussed that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can go on the Google
mm-hmm.
and find a Wikipedia page on all these different topics mm-hmm. and get baseline information. Talk
yes,
about
you can. Wikipedia has a great deal.
Appalachians mm-hmm. and the regions. But then what Rob's talking about is taking it to mm-hmm. that next level.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And investing a whole $8 pretty much.
Where you're going to find out why mm-hmm. you like Napa wines.
Well, folks, with study, you can go into a shop or a grocery store and not have to ask anybody. You will know by if you... For folks, there are something called vintage charts. You can find them online, Wine Spectator, Wine Enthusiast, both. They're freely available. They give a rating to every vintage for every varietal that matters. So you know if a certain vintage is good for a certain varietal. So you start off with that knowledge.
And so it's not the brand. It's like you know that this year Cab would
yes.
be good.
Like,
year.
I said the 97 Cabernet. I think it got a 99 as the whole vintage across the board. But you'll know that. And then we know the different appellations and what are good and what are bad.
Start over because this is new to me too, folks. There's
vintage charts.
Vintage charts.
Yes. You don't know about vintage charts?
With
yes.
basic vintage charts, you can learn about what year you mm-hmm. expect a certain varietal or certain appellation
yeah.
to be high quality.
And that's, once again, folks, that's a generality. But... If you're going in, and this also, both folks, doesn't apply to budget value wines. It doesn't apply to it. They're talking about wines of a higher end. So, like back in 97, that didn't apply to $7 Cabernets. $7 Cabernets were still $7 Cabernets. They were talking about wines from Sonoma and Napa. Okay, your areas that are specifically designated for Cabernet production. Okay. And in those areas, this is how it is. And actually, sometimes they'll break it down Napa and Sonoma because they might have different weather. They might have different everything. So you'll see that even broken down in the vintage charts. It's a very interesting tool. Once again, it's a generality because it doesn't apply to everything. But if you're buying, it doesn't hurt. It's just one more quiver or one more arrow in your quiver when you go out to shop and look around.
So a couple more things on my list. Don'ts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you're in a restaurant or a wine shop for that matter,
mm-hmm.
wherever. Pay attention to the cork.
Yes. Now, if you know.
If you know.
Yeah.
But there's things you can learn about. Corks are one of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a fouled cork, we don't do chunky corks.
Mm-hmm. Folks, a cork
Send
wine.
It back. If your server
mm-hmm.
corks your bottle, and you've got cork floating in it?
No, don't.
Send it back.
That's inexcusable. Now, one thing to...
Why do we have to... wine guy. Tell us why we have to pay attention to the cork.
Well, the cork can talk about a lot of different things. First of all, with the twist off, it's not going to tell you much because it's twist off.
Whoops.
Yeah. No, corks, first of all, you're going to smell the cork. What are you looking for? Look for anything that smells of mildew, okay? Anything that's musty smelling. That's going to tell you that the wine is corked, okay? If you don't smell anything that's musty.
Which means they stored it improperly.
No, it normally it means that there's a, there could be a, some sort of bacteria that got on the, there could be a thousand different things that's wrong with it that's a problem. You don't want to drink it at that point. But if you smell mildew on the cork, don't drink it. Because they don't have cellars and things like that.
Chunky corks are a sign that they're dried out, right?
If a cork is extremely dry, that could be something. But anymore, though, with synthetic corks and crap like that, it's so hard to tell. Make sure that there's actually wine soaked into the bottom of it.
The bottom of it?
That'll tell. I mean, if it's stored upright constantly, then it's not going to necessarily have that much wine on there. But that also comes back to, if it's a synthetic cork, they don't soak up that much. That's the problem anymore. On the Chateau Saint-Jean, that is a corked cork. That's corky cork. And after 18 years, 20 years, it was falling apart. But it's inundated. You look at the cupola, it's got a nice little from weeks ago, it's got a nice little purple stain to it. But it's a compressed, it's cork.
It's
but
composite.
Yeah, it's not the same kind of deal. And you smell it, it's just slightly grapey. You're not going to actually get much out of it. That's the problem with that kind of test when they do that. Really, what I emphasize is really think about that first taste. Make sure that they pour you a sample to taste. Because that's really going to tell you. That's first of all going to tell you if it's too warm. Quite frankly, if it's too warm, send its ass back.
Send its ass back.
You know what? If more people did that, they'd stop screwing with everybody. So, yeah. So, yeah. So, Scott, what's your next?
Screw them on the high temp lines.
Fuckers.
Big time do, folks. Wine glasses.
Yeah.
Learn about them.
Absolutely, folks. And we all know that not everybody, we here on the Wine Vault, wholly endorse Riedel. Riedel out, I mean, I don't care what series you're using. We have a mixture of Venoms and Wine Series. The Wine Series are very similar to the Venoms.
A little sturdier,
and that's one reason why we use them. We've broke too many Venoms.
but not so much the brand.
Mm-hmm.
Learn the about shape. The style glass, the yep. shape of the glass makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Burgundy glass
should be bulbous and folks, one thing.
And tell the listeners what we're gonna drink out of those.
We're gonna drink Pinot. No, folks, one thing you wanna focus on, especially on a Pinot glass. Don't you see these ones that look like a bowl, a fish bowl? Then they have like an open flat top. It has to be tapered all the way up to the top. You want the top to be a smaller opening than from the bottom. So if it's all open, basically it's just like a margarita glass.
So that big bulbous burgundy glass is mm-hmm. for Pinots.
It's for Pinots.
The next stage?
Also for Nebbiolos, but that's really another story.
Cabs. What are we going to drink cabs out of?
We're going to drink cabs out of a fairly large glass, taller than it is wide.
Will Riedel market them as cab glasses?
They will market them as cab glasses, Merlot glasses, Bordeaux glasses. Any of those three names will work. Merlot and Bordeaux and cab all use the same
and
glass.
Then our beloved Zin. What are we drinking those out of?
Zin, Chianti, and Riesling all use the same glass.
How about that, folks?
Now, you can also, Zin Chianti glasses from Riedel, from their Venom series, work well as an all-around glass, too.
And so, let's not leave out the white wine drinkers. Chardonnay, what are we going to drink a Chardonnay out of?
Plastic cup.
Be nice.
Oh, no, it just depends, folks. Any white wine glass that's specifically designed for white wine, I use Riedel Overtures, which aren't necessarily, you know, varietal specific.
You might use that same Zin Riesling glass. No?
No.
That's too narrow?
Yeah, you need a little more bulbous bottom.
Okay.
But that being said, different types of Chardonnay take different types of glasses. So if you're drinking a Montrachet, which is a French Burgundy, some higher-end French Burgundies, you don't use the same glass that you'd use a California Chardonnay for. Your mind is blown now.
He's so complicated.
But folks,
that's why he's the wine guy. That's why we love him.
We're not going to drink Montrachet on this show.
Yeah. So why do you bring it up?
Because you're I'm an asshole.
No, because you're so smart. That's what it is. No, he really is an asshole, folks.
It's not really smart when someone else told you this, but that's all right.
No, it's okay. I've always known you're an asshole.
Thank you, Dick.
So another don't, folks. Just in general. And I'm probably going to be called racist for saying this, but Renaissance festivals, don't do them.
Why would you be Renaissance? What?
Yeah, don't do Renaissance festivals.
What's that have to do with anything? And how are you racist for that?
I figured you'd label me as something.
You dress up or something? First of all, what's that have to do with wine?
Don't do Renaissance festivals.
What's that have to do with wine?
Everything.
How? Have you been to a restaurant Renaissance festival?
No, never.
You should. You would do well.
Have you gone to a Renaissance festival is a more important question.
No.
Have you been to a Renaissance festival, my friend? Have you drank the mead?
No. The answer is no.
Do we believe him, listeners? That's a question.
How did you know that they serve mead at a Renaissance festival?
We're going to poll our listeners.
I take this back. When I was in high school, as a field trip, we went to a Renaissance festival.
Oh, the truth comes out.
And it rained. And we weren't there for 15 minutes. We didn't really go to a Renaissance festival.
Rob cried on the bus ride home.
I imagine that you would dress up in some sort of tunic. I don't imagine. I envision that you would do that with a wooden sword and say hark a lot and, you know.
Hark?
Winches.
Is this biblical time? Hark, you say winches
and all sorts of stuff.
Winches?
Winches.
Winches? I was going to hoist something from the ground off the back of a truck with a winch.
Well, I mean, if that's how you
Would I say wench?
A winch is a female.
A wench? A wench?
A wench.
A wench, not a winch?
Oh, for Christ's sake. Mr. USA Soccer is going to...
Let's get back to our do and don'ts.
Do you have any other sports teams that you're wearing? What's your t-shirt underneath there?
It says... What's it say?
It says lies. Anyway.
Best Popeye ever.
Oh, God. Did you buy that for yourself?
Nope.
Okay.
God knows which side her bread is buttered on.
Oh, Jesus.
Folks, here's my last don't. We might mock you.
Who?
Rob in particular. He's very pretentious.
No. I judge you.
But don't apologize for what you like.
Oh, come on. If
you like white wines...
That's okay.
Some of our listeners might not think that.
It's okay if you like wines. There are some extremely good white wines. I like white wines.
Don't apologize for your palate is what I'm getting at.
Well,
some of us probably need to develop our palate. If you're still stuck on...
That's very judgy.
1988 white Zinfandels.
It's not wine.
Maybe you should grow a little bit, but don't apologize for what you like. We've had several multi-panel sessions, and there's been differences. And we don't have to apologize for what we like in our differences.
In fairness, Scott, we don't have differences, you and I.
Sometimes.
And what? Other than you didn't like the Constantina Zin because you're a communist. But other than the Constantina Zin.
One last dude, you're out.
What?
You're out. You're at a restaurant.
Sure.
You're in between choices.
Okay.
Spend up.
Yes, always do that.
Spend up.
Well, they always say Steve has said, what is the, buy the house wine. They don't really have house wines anymore, but yeah, spend up. Don't.
Spend up. Yeah. Now, that may not be true when you're buying by the glass.
And
here's another.
Where you're out at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're at Applebee's, that means you're buying the Woodbridge over the Sutter Home.
No. We're talking about a fine dining situation, or at least we're lucky where we're at here in Central Ohio. I think we've got restaurants that, even on a mom and pop level, do well with our wine list.
They do.
Even if they've only got 7 on it.
They try.
They're going to try.
They could do better. They just have to ask us.
Yeah, they do have to ask us.
By the way, we are open to consult with...
Well, it's our new business. We just formed it. But spend up. But also, let's say I'm going to go out to a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and they've got 10 glasses of reds.
Sure. That's a lot. But it's a, yeah.
it's, it is a lot. That's a lot. And, here's, and that goes to my point. Don't be afraid to ask the bartender, because you're sitting at the bar to order, not at a table. Of course, because you get better service at the bar. So do sit at the bar. You ask the bartender, how long has that bottle been open?
That is that actually does make a difference. They'll lie, but
No. Not when you're looking them eye in the eye.
That's true. You don't want a bottle that was open on Tuesday and this is a Friday, for Christ's sake. Red wine, I mean,
it's got a shelf life.
Folks, we review things within an hour of when we open it. Wine doesn't improve as it as air sucks its life away.
Well, there's a certain point where it opens up, and once it's
law
open,
of diminishing returns.
It's
yeah,
law of diminishing returns.
Yeah, I know, and that is also when we say warm wine, old wine. Well, I just get tired of the way they the restaurants treat their customers. It's wrong, and if I'm paying $13 for a glass of wine, it should be at its peak condition. Damn it! I mean, anytime I'm buying something from you, it should be the best that you can offer it. And if you can't offer it at the best or acceptable levels, then you shouldn't be offering it. I mean, it's period. If you don't know what you're doing, and even if you don't know what wines to offer, you can offer them at the right temperature.
Do's and don'ts, top three.
Temperature.
That's, there you go, temperature.
Yeah.
No. I think it's even something even simpler than that.
Yeah.
If it's not right, send it back.
Absolutely. I mean, you're paying for it. And quite frankly, who gives a shit if they don't like it? They can go fuck themselves.
If you got crap food, would you? If you ordered fettuccine Alfredo, really simple dish, mm-hmm. and it shows up,
yeah,
and it's got a crust on the top of it because it's freaking cold.
Yeah,
it's sat.
Well, you know what, folks?
You send it back. Same thing with your wine.
These sons of bitches keep raising the prices, and you are making the same you made 5 years ago.
What's number two? I say number two on our dues is learn about glasses.
Well, learn about glasses.
Particularly at home.
Well, educate yourself generally.
Particularly at home.
Yeah.
You have the proper wine glass.
If you're sitting there by yourself, do what you want. But if you have other people over and you're trying to actually recreate a wine tasting scenario, as it were.
But, well, let me even make it simpler. Mm-hmm. Once you've figured out how brilliant we are and that Zinfandel is the best varietal in the world, get Zinfandel glasses.
Actually, Cabernet is the best varietal. I like Zinfandel, but Cabernet is the best varietal. I mean,
bastard.
I mean, don't be stupid.
Don't be stupid.
I mean, Zinfandel. I love Zinfandel.
You're a sis.
But
there was. Embrace your inner truth.
Okay, Cabernet is superior to Zinfandel. Oh,
Jesus.
I mean, it is.
Well, and if
it's
you
factual,
too want to jump,
was it, are these alternate
the
facts
masses.
That we're dealing with? Alternate facts. By the way, you're dressed up like Kellyanne Conway at the inauguration. Remember how she was dressed up Kellyanne like a freaking Cracker Jack box?
Kellyanne Conway? She of the...
The dumbass?
Scarecrow of the Wizard of Oz face?
My dog is 10,000 times smarter than that dumbass. Fuck's sakes. Forget politics.
Anyhow, that was two. What's three? Learn. Research.
Well, learn, yeah.
Find apps. Carry them.
Books. Read books.
Lord, come on.
But soon enough, we'll be burning books. Right
apps.
Now, we should still be reading them before we start burning them.
Apps.
Oh, man.
Apps. Research. Well, download apps. Research.
Apps are nice, folks, but apps are a cheat. It's good if you actually organically develop the knowledge by reading. You know what, folks? As I will take you back to Reading Rainbow. Just take a look. It's in a book. It's Reading Rainbow. That's what it
folks,
is.
Folks.
Butterflies
we'll be right back.
In the sky.
This ends
I guess
another
I'm twice as
potpourri
high.
Session.
But I was pot smoking, actually, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That was actually a very good potpourri session.
We'll be
session.
Right back.
We will be.
On the Wine Vault.
And folks, we're back. We are going to, well, we're going to review the 1999 Chateau Saint-Jean Cinque-Sapage. Now, just for full disclosure, Triple B has given up and has left the studio. Apparently, she does not want to assign a number, and quite frankly, we're glad because it might be askew. Because I think she's prejudiced against this.
She didn't like it.
She doesn't like it. That's too bad. Because she left a little bit of director in her glass.
She has hidden black olive issues.
She does. She.
It's the earthiness, the, as she calls it, the dirt taste, mushroom, whatever. She just doesn't dig it, man.
It's nice because I have a lot of great Bordeaux. In my, well, good, so Bordeaux. You get
to drink it all.
We get to drink it all.
Ah,
yeah. So.
Hello.
Oh, by the way, there's older things. There's an older thing than this in there.
Wow.
But it's not ready yet. It needs another.
It's not ready yet?
Smith Haute Lafitte. No, it's not ready yet. It needs another.
I'm not smelling your feet.
4 to 5 years.
Wow.
Then it'll be just right. Wow. So, folks. One thing we'd like to point out, we just emptied out the decanter. Sediment abounds in the decanter, and this is why we use a decanter. Because right now, we can drink this wine without grittiness.
Drinking all that stuff that's in the decanter.
Which is gross. And you don't want to detract that from a great wine, which...
This is a great wine.
Well, we don't know. We haven't reviewed it yet. So we're gonna start off with the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
This is a great wine. It may be past its prime... Oh, woe is me for not catching this in its prime. Mm-hmm. I've never had an aged wine like this before. I'm a novice, folks. And, you know, I'm learning about red wines, but I know this. The mid palate in this 1999 Chateau Saint-Jean Cinque-Sapage
was
spectacular. Mm-hmm. Long. I wouldn't quite call it expansive because it's... Mm. And I have to believe that it's because of it being a little past its prime. There is a little unevenness about it.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. It's there's a little harshness in the front, but then there's that... It goes away quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's that beautiful mid palate that just goes on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the finish, it's this earthy, mushroomy, as Triple B would say, dirty.
Yeah.
Big finish, but then it goes away. It like drops off to nothing, except it's not nothing.
Yeah.
It's this.
There's something else underneath it.
Even, beautiful, lengthy finish.
Yes.
That I think, you know, it'll be sometime during dinner tomorrow night that yeah. it'll finally finish.
True. Yeah.
I have trouble on the higher ends knowing what the right number is. It just feels like a 92 to me.
That's a strong review. Now, folks, one thing I didn't mention, I've been to Chateau Saint-Jean. And interesting at Chateau Saint-Jean, they have two different tastings. One for the pieces of shit, and then the private room tasting.
Oh?
I did the private room
tasting. Did you? And yes. Was this on the Baby Moon?
Yes, it was. Strangely enough, you have to pay extra just to go to the tasting, then you pay for the tasting. I didn't care.
So, wait, let me get this right. So, in the VIP, it's the VIP?
It's a VIP tasting.
The VIP tasting, you have to pay to get into the VIP tasting. Uh-huh. And you can watch it. But not taste.
No. Once you pay, then you go in and you already will pay again. You pay twice.
You pay twice.
I think it's like $15 to go. Then it's another $25 to start to taste. It's expensive to go on a wine tour. Anyway, on that tasting, a couple Cinque-Sapages, their reserve, which is... Oh, and a couple other things I can't recall off the hand. But I still have an 08 and a 2010 Cinque-Sapage in the wine vault. And we'll visit those down the road a long time from now. But Cinque-Sapage is something I've had the 96, 97, and now the 99. It's kind of a, it almost is, it's almost, to finish up this wine, it's a wine that, it's the last of the label that looks like this. It's kind of special to me because it's when I worked in Anderson's that I bought these wines. And it's a little bit emotional for me because it really is something that's special to me. Sinks a Poche.
Well, and it's a special wine.
Strangely enough, you wouldn't think that a wine would be special to somebody, but it is. That and Numanthia. Both of these two wines, Sinks a Poche and Numanthia.
They mean something to you.
Are two wines that I have an affinity towards. And it makes me very pleased that this wine, even though I've let it go way too long, is still gorgeous and something that we really enjoyed tonight. It makes me happy in that regard.
Well, and let's be honest and transparent to the listeners. Yeah. You did a little pre-taste before we started.
And it was and kind of...
I think your response was, I've never tasted anything like that before. And you didn't say that in a pleasant way.
No, folks. It was very smoky. It just needed to blow off a little bit, open up. Once it did...
There's nothing smoky about it.
Quite frankly, it keeps getting nicer and nicer. Oh, my God. It's really beautiful, folks. Something that's 18 years old to be this wonderful and enjoyable. And quite frankly, I think you've noticed that the episode is longer this evening. Typically, when we really enjoy a wine and we're really enjoying ourselves, the episodes go longer. This is an extremely long episode, and it's going to be. There's no fat in this episode. It's just
beautiful wine.
We had a lot to say because we really love this stuff.
Is there anything developing in this as it opens that we haven't talked about yet?
I think you joked about it, but I think there is a little more fruit now.
And I think the comment was, well, the only...
Sweet fruit is me, yeah.
Yeah, the only sweet fruit in the room is you, buddy.
Which is homophobic, and we will cut that out, but still.
No, we're not cutting that out.
It is really... It's a beautiful thing that I'm happy that we shared. And
thank you again for sharing this with me on my birthday.
It's my pleasure. And quite frankly, folks, that's the purpose of these wines.
And he's not wrong in saying that as this has opened, there is just a little fruit there.
Yeah. And I don't...
It's
yeah,
nice.
It's gorgeous.
And I would describe it as grape.
It is grape.
It's grape. Mm-hmm. It's not this note of berry or currants. No. It's
great.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful. Do you want to revisit your score?
I'm sticking with the 92. I struggle on the top end and on the low end.
Folks, I'm giving it a 94. And that's the highest review I've given anything. Simply because it's just an achievement for this wine to be this old and then revealing more and more as it opens up. It doesn't have any more ageability to it. It's at its peak. But this wine still is showing us stuff. It's like, hey, I'm still here. Look at me. And folks, it's going to be here because it's going to have a place of prominence because it's going in the Wine Vault Hall of Fame.
It is. Well, it might even...
The label's up there. The bottle's going to join it.
The Hall of Fame might not even be hallowed enough ground for it.
It's going on top of the Numanthia box.
Maybe it just goes to heaven.
Wine Vault Heaven. Folks, we have just created a new place.
New category.
Wine Vault Heaven. These are for wines that are of exceptional quality that are beyond what we really expect them to be. And this wine belongs in that.
Superior quality. Stand on their own. Anything else that... I mean, we just invented the category. Is anything else we've reviewed...
No.
Gone to heaven?
I mean, Numanthia was great.
I don't think it goes to heaven.
Doesn't go to heaven.
I don't think it goes to heaven, my friend. I know you love it. I know it has a special place in your heart, but this is heaven.
You gave it a higher review than this.
That's okay. I know. Like I said, I struggle with high numbers.
I know. But this really, it is just magnificent.
It's
a triumph.
And let's be honest, this gets something for 18 years.
It does. I mean, and this isn't price point. This is just an achievement.
You know what this makes me want to go out and do? Buy more. Not necessarily the 1999, but go out and buy an 08. Go out and buy an 06.
We can't buy an 08 or 06, but you can buy a 2013 and zero in on it, folks. And
on wine.com, you can't find a 08 or 06.
You can do that on Vinfolio. Folks, there is a website that you can buy things like this, and it's called Vinfolio. And they do have wines. They have wines dating back to the beginning of time. And I'm sure we could find this wine, on Vinfolio if we tried. And that is one place that you can go out and try to find this wine and buy it. And I will say that Vinfolio they either have it from private collectors or in their own warehouse, and they will tell you which way it comes. And their wines are stored to the utmost quality, just like we would store them here on the Wine Vault. So if you have the hankering to try something like this or older, give Vinfolio, and quite frankly, Scott, I think we should add them as to one of our recommendations, and we will.
We will.
On the Wine Vault. And we recommend Vinfolio as just kind of a exercise in just exceptionalness. And they have these things out there. So by all means, folks, go out, try an old wine, enjoy it. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. I know we have. And, you know, here at the Wine Vault, I know we sometimes get off on tangents and we quote, you know.
Not us.
You know.
Bad movies. Good movies.
Good movies and bad movies.
Bad music. Good music.
Like Walk of the West is bad music. But sometimes music. There's more to it than that. Because we actually do care about what we do, right?
We do.
And so, and times like this, when we drink wines like this, it reminds us of why we do.
Holy shit, I didn't know why I did this.
Yeah.
This, but I knew why I wanted to buy wine that I could age.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight we're drinking it.
Yeah. So, folks.
And I owe it to my man, Rob, the wine guy, the class of the show. Well, Triple B's, let's be honest, Triple B's the class of the show. But,
and folks, I think I've owned this bottle for 15 years. I think, it's about when it was. 15. No. It wasn't 15 years. No, yeah, it was 15 years. That's when I had it for 15 years. So, folks, with that, we are going to bid you adieu. And for myself, Rob the Wine Guy, and Scott,
Sancho, the unlicensed taxi driver,
we thank you. And we wish you a pleasant evening. Thank you for joining the Wine Vault. We'll see you next time. Good night.